hello and welcome in to episode 56 of the Calcio Connection podcast, connecting with you, Italian football fans from all over the world. I am Alex Dono alongside my co-host, as always, Jerry Mancini. Now, a note to our listeners, because when you listen to this, you'll probably be listening to it after Italy's Nations League matchup with the Netherlands. We're recording this pod shortly before kickoff of that game, so we're not going to be breaking down whatever happens between Italy and the Netherlands. I just hope that however Italy plays today, they can wipe some of the bad taste out of my mouth from that performance, that sterile performance that they had against Bosnia and Herzegovina a few days ago. So a lot of squad rotation today. Hopefully we see more goals. Hopefully we see fullbacks who can actually provide some sort of a threat in the attack, as they certainly couldn't with the previous lineup. So we'll talk about things at the club level as we're kind of in the calm before the storm when it comes to football, right? The Serie A season is about 2 weeks away from resuming, so it's mostly transfer stuff going on right now. I will say that you guys may or may not know that, of course, I'm in Miami, Florida, and I cover Inter Miami, and Inter Miami is sort of becoming Juve Miami because Blaise Matuidi made his Inter Miami debut last night. I was working that broadcast. He made his debut against Nashville SC, and he looked really good. Like, Blaise Matuidi, I know there may be some Juve fans listening. It was pretty interesting because he played on Sunday night. He made his Inter-Miami debut. Didn't start team training until Friday, and that was the only training session he had. So for a guy that hadn't played football in 5 weeks, and who really probably doesn't even know a lot of his teammates' names at this point, I thought he put in an excellent performance. Box to box, was running like crazy, good tackles, tremendous passes. His accuracy was up there. He played into the 79th minute, even though he was starting to look tired late in the first half, was able to power through it and play deep into the second half. So I was really impressed with what Blaise Matuidi did with his debut in an Inter Miami shirt. And Inter Miami is going to more than likely add yet another former Juventus player within the next couple of weeks as they're working on the transfer. I think it's going to end up being on a free, but they're working on signing Gonzalo Higuain, who's right now talking with Juventus to get his contract terminated. So Higuain is likely going to join the mix with Inter Miami as well. And Jerry, really what Inter Miami needs at this point, because we're seeing improved play defensively, they keep racking up clean sheets now. The midfield just got a lot better with Matuidi. This team has a lot of trouble scoring goals. So if they can get Gonzalo Higuain in there, you'll have that Juventus contingent in Inter Miami, and I think Higuain is going to help them score a ton more goals because their finishing has been pretty poor to this point, and Higuain can fix that. So I'm covering a lot of former Serie A players now playing down in my backyard in Miami, and I know Jerry has got to be a happy man today. If you've been watching Jerry's recent Twitter videos, it's been a full 180 because a couple of weeks ago, Jerry was very angry at Claudio Lotito. Jerry, of course, is a Lazio supporter. Big mouth, tight pockets. He was not happy. And now all of a sudden, Lotito has listened to Jerry, and Lotito has started spending money. The transfer of Muriqi is done for about $19 million. Lazio is close to closing on Mohamed Fares for left wing back. You know, it sounds, Jerry, like Lazio is actually back in the race to sign Marash Kumbula from Hellas Verona. So all of a sudden now with that Champions League money and aspirations, Claudio Lotito is starting to spend. What a glorious day, Jerry. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. I'm actually excited. You know, I was one of the doubters about Claudio Lotito, and I'm going to give credit to a good friend of ours from Forza Napoli podcast, Joseph, where he said to me, he's like, is it really Lotito's fault that deals are not getting done, or is it maybe counterpart that clubs are just being a little too aggressive and asking for too much and the demand for their players? And maybe, and also it seems as if Lotito has been offering what they want. He gave the offer to Fenerbahce of $20 million. He apparently, I read today that he's offered $9 million for Fares, and who knows about Kumbula now? Maybe. he's willing to spend the money for Kumbula. And another good point that Joe said is that they have six games in Champions League. That's a lot of money that they're going to be generating in order to buy players, and a lot of people don't put into the thought process. And I agree. In recent years, I've been the biggest Lotito doubter that this man doesn't want to spend money. And credit to Stephen Moore on his Twitter account, where from the Laziale, where he showed the top 10 signings, and the most expensive signing in the team's history under Lotito has been Zarate at 20 million. So that just tells you how Lotito tries to keep the books very tight, very clean. He doesn't want to get into any financial issues. Again, this is a guy who's not worth as much money as other owners who are worth billions. Okay. Mm-hmm. I read on, I don't know how reliable it is when you look at Wikipedia, but it says that his account, like his worth is 100 million. And for some club, that's not a lot of money. Let's be realistic here. But
I make that in a week on the stock market.
But you got to give Lotito credit. He's been able to retain the players that have really allowed Inzaghi to be, in order to be successful. You have Immobile, who is committed to the project. He has spoken out and said that Lotito is working hard with Iglesias to make things happen. Simone Inzaghi has actually backed up Lotito and has gotten the word that they are trying to buy players. And in recent seasons, we've seen Inzaghi not happy with the way management has approached the transfer market, not wanting to buy players, not caring. But I think this time around, it's not Lotito's problem. Sorry, he's not the issue. And maybe it's the fact that he got a good sniff of what it's like to be at the top of the table and having some winning in Serie A and very close to winning the Scudetto. And now he's seeing that, and maybe he does need players that coming on three competitions, and you don't want to just go into Champions League as a joke. This is a team who actually, I think, wants to take it serious. And credit to Lotito and Tade trying hard to get some players. And I think that they're not done yet. I think that basically Fares and Mariki is just the start. We did sign Escalante, who came from SD Eibar, and apparently he's been really good in preseason training. There are a lot of options where we can call back as well. And I wrote an article recently on World Football Index where I said that if we're not having a very good transfer market, or we can't find players on the market that we're unable to buy, like a Lucas Leiva is injury prone and he's getting late into his career now. And while he is the starter when healthy, I think a guy like Milan Baidesh would be a good replacement for him. He's a defensive midfielder and someone who was loaned out last year to play Fiorentina and has shown the ability that he can play in against matches, say like a Benevento. And people are saying, well, why would you call back a guy like Badal? Why would you call back a guy by like Rizzo Dermisi? Even Sofiane Kayin, who played for Salentena and scored, I believe, 10 goals last season, which was a career high for him, and has shown a lot of promise. And Inzaghi has been using him a lot in his lineup. And yeah, even a guy like Wallace, I'll even say. And I know Wallace was beat up against Atalanta two seasons ago. Right. But I'm not saying you have to play these players against Juventus, Napoli, Inter, AC Milan. But you play them against the lower tier echelon and like the lower clubs, and all of a sudden you're able to allow players to rest, and you don't have like Inter's an example where you don't overuse Brozovic 2,000 minutes when he shouldn't be playing against a lower tier club. He should be playing other players, and that's what Lazio should be doing. And I don't want to hear this depth option bullcrap anymore. Like Lazzari, played every game last year. And I get that Maricic wasn't healthy. But a healthy Maricic, you switch it up. On the left wing-back situation, if Fares is coming in, that's a great option to use. You can use, if Jordan Lukaku is healthy, which he said on his Twitter account, he's ready to come back and he's stronger than ever, that's a good sign. And yeah, you don't use Lukaku against a Juventus. You use Senalulic if he's back healthy because he can provide more. The experience, the leadership, the veteranness that he provides. So at the end of the day, and the biggest thing is I know that the wages have to be considered, but if you don't have an option to send these players out, use them. And have options to come off the bench. And the biggest thing is that injuries happen throughout the year. So you're always going to need extra players in order to be used. And we saw this.
And that's such a great point, because I think, like, for Lazio this past season, one of the reasons why you guys made it a Scudetto run for as long as you did was you were a little bit more fortunate with having fewer injuries than some of the other squads you were competing with. And part of that kind of, and of course, having fewer competitions, not, you know, having Champions League and Europa League games midweek and having a relatively healthy squad really helped you guys until late in the year. And so you can't expect to be lucky like that 2 years in a row. It's why you're adding all this depth now.
No, absolutely. And I want to say one thing, because before I forget, after you mentioned that Italy plays Netherlands today, right?
Yes.
And I know I'm going off topic here for a second. I saw a lot of Immobile haters on Friday, and like, he did nothing in 18 minutes. I went to go look at the stats. The guy had 6 touches in 18 minutes. Before we can start ripping on Immobile and why couldn't he score, let's address the midfield and the lack and inability to move the ball forward into the final third and create anything. I don't even Belotti, people were saying he didn't have the best game, but I didn't see the ball distribution was that great. And if
if you're
not able to help your forwards to move the ball forward, it makes no sense to put the blame on Immobile. And I know I'm biased because I'm one of the biggest Immobile fans out there, probably. Freaking, I'll stick by this guy when it's not his fault. And I'll be the first to admit when it is his fault. Don't worry. But in a game like that where they haven't played for a while, there's no chemistry, they need to build that foundation again. Like, there's just so many broken pieces that I wouldn't overreact on this performance he had. And I hope that he starts today, and I really hope he scores a goal or two so he can just shove it in everybody's ass. That's what I want to see. I just want to see him score today and just stick it right to everybody who doubts him every game and says, oh, he's a choker, he's not good. First off, it's Nations League. Who the fuck cares about the Nations Cup, whatever the frick you want to call it?
I certainly don't.
Yeah, exactly. Just another meaningless freaking trophy where these guys have to go out, play even more on top of what they already expected to do with their leagues. And then we're going to have to hear all these players get injured, and then our teams are decimated. Makes no sense. I don't get it, but I don't control the league. I don't control the scheduling. That's another thing. But at the end of the day, when you're playing with 3 men up front, it doesn't suit Immobile. And that's another problem. He's a 3-5-2 kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And Mancini has to figure out how to use Immobile that works to the best of his abilities and his strengths. And if you're going to call on Immobile, maybe you need to change up the way you're playing when he's in the lineup. And when Belotti's in, you go back to a 4-3-3 because he can play as a center forward. So, I don't know. That's just the way I look at it personally. Maybe people will be against me and say I'm wrong, but why would you use a player that is not used to the style that you're asking? Like, it just makes no sense to me, but Immobile, you're gonna watch today. The guy tries hard. He works his ass off. He'll do everything possible in order to score a goal, and I think that at the end of the day wins me over. But I guess that's not enough when you need to get goals from a forward. But I think that he's gonna prove a lot of people wrong, and he's gonna transition that lad to success with Italy. That's just,
you know, something on that topic that I get really annoyed with when people who are Italian football fans start rooting against players on the national team for banter purposes. Like, it's ridiculous. You're shooting yourself in the foot, man. Like, if you are a fan of Italian football, I don't care if maybe you hate Lazio, you happen to be maybe a Roma supporter or a Juve or an Inter, a Milan fan or whatever, a Napoli fan, and you enjoy, you know, making fun of Ciro because you like to laugh at the fact that he hasn't had a lot of success with the Azzurri, despite the fact that, you know, he's setting records in Serie A. Like, we need to unite when the national team is playing. I mean, Jerry, you know that I despise Juventus as much as any Interista would. And, you know, you despise teams like Juve and Milan, and you're a Laziali, so you're not a big fan of Roma. But when they put on the Azzurri shirt, when they put on the national team jersey, then, you know, you have to cheer for these guys, right? That for as much as I despise, you know, someone like Giorgio Chiellini, when he's wearing the national team shirt, I cheer for the guy because I want the country that I cheer for to do well. I want to get that fifth World Cup championship. So for me, as soon as you put on the Azzurri shirt, the banter stops, and I get tired of seeing people rip Ciro Immobile on Twitter when he's out there representing the national team. We need to root for this guy to do well because it helps the entire country.
It's a good point, actually. I when I watch the Azzurri, I don't think about Juventus personally. All that's out the window. That's a very valid point. You don't think about what team they play for. The only team they're playing for is the Azzurri, and that's it. It's not about Roma. It's not about any other team. That is a very valid point, Alex, and good shout out there.
So that was some great stuff there on Lazio from you. Everyone knows I support Inter. And it looks like the retirement home is opening up this week because it's expected to come in for their medicals this week are 34-year-old Alexander Kolarov, 33-year-old Arturo Vidal, 30-year-old Matteo Darmian. So those are going to be, more than likely all three of them will be the first three signings for Inter of this summer transfer window. Actually, I shouldn't say that because we forget that Ashraf Hakimi is also a new arrival. But since his deal was consummated a couple of months ago, we kind of tend to forget that Hakimi is already in and he's already coming in. But yeah, but the three latest signings are going to be Kolarov, Vidal, and Darmian. And, you know, while it does, I still, and we've talked about it so much on this pod, obviously the wound for me is still fresh that Inter didn't ever close Sandro Tonali and he's on his way to Milan because it's so important for me not only to think about players that can help Inter in the short term, but players who can help in the long term as well. And I think in the case of Tonali, I think he could have helped in the short term and in the long term. So now that I see Antonio Conte bringing in so many of these players in their 30s in the twilight of their career, anything short of, and I hate to say this because people are going to use this quote against me at the end of this coming season if it doesn't go well for Inter, but anything short of a Scudetto, I think, is a failure when you talk about investing in players that are win-now type of players and not investments for the future because, you know, Arturo Vidal is not going to be helping this team 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Kolarov is not going to be helping this team 2, 3 years down the road, right? So you're making investments in the short term to try and win now. And if they don't win serious trophies this coming season, I consider the Conte project to be a failure. But according to the Italian media, there is one big piece that Conte wants to bring in before this summer transfer window, this quote-unquote summer transfer window, because we're bleeding into autumn now, but it's considered the summer transfer window. But there's one more bigger piece that Antonio Conte wants to bring in, and that's N'Golo Kanté from Chelsea. I don't think this would be an easy operation. Clearly with these finances after COVID-19 and after already having invested a lot of money in Hakimi, it's clear Inter just don't have the liquid cash to say, yeah, we're going to pay 50, 55 million euros for a player now without selling first. So I want to throw this to you, Jerry, and I'll give my opinion as well. All indications are that if Antonio Conte, who reportedly wants N'Golo Kanté this summer as much as he wanted Romelu Lukaku last summer, which was a lot, that he now looks at Kanté as being the missing piece for this year the way that Lukaku was for last year, you're going to have to make a sale or a combination of sales to make this happen. Now, there are two ways you could do this, the first of which I think is far less likely, and that would be unloading all the dead wood. Right, making a combination of sales like permanently selling Joao Mario, permanently selling Matias Vecino. I can't expect Inter to be able to sell all of their older unwanted players. I guess you could throw Ivan Perisic into that mix as well to make this big combination of sales. You've had enough trouble selling these guys over the last couple of years. I can't expect you to sell all of them this summer. So the other way to afford N'Golo Kanté would be to make a big sum of money on selling one of the three following players. And maybe you could even try to do a swap deal with Chelsea for one of these three players. But I think in order to bring N'Golo Kanté to Inter, you're going to have to move either Milan Skriniar, Marcelo Brozovic, or Christian Eriksen. So Jerry, I'll throw this to you. Out of those three, if Inter needs to sell one of these three to get N'Golo Kanté in, Skriniar, Brozovic, Eriksson. Who would you sell?
Oh, it's tough. I would probably go with Brozovic, honestly. And I know he's like the heart and soul of the midfield, but I kind of seen a little bit of a decline as the season went on. His off-field issues. I think that if you use Eriksson on a more consistent basis in his natural role, you may be able to get more out of him. It seems as if he's has actually announced, like he said, that he's happy being there, and like that was the best opportunity for him to win. He still stands by it, and I don't know. I don't know if you want N'Golo Kanté in the first place. And being a Chelsea fan, and I might get chewed for this, I would be okay with Chelsea selling him. And a lot of people are saying, well, he's like top five midfielder in the world. Mm. Yeah, before this past season, I would agree that he was probably one of the best midfielders. Great box-to-box midfielder, very good defensively, can play offensively, can join the attack. He really covers a lot of space. But this is the stat that really kind of concerns me. He only played 22 games in the Premier League last year and played a total of 28 games. And this drop-off actually started off when they made the finals of the Europa League. And I think he either played injured or not. He was forced back. I think he played, but he wasn't 100% fit. He was injured 2 weeks prior to the game, I believe in training. And ever since, he's just injury after injury after injury. He comes back for 3 games, picks up an injury. Comes back for 2 games, picks up an injury. And I think that at the age of 29, he is in the prime of his career. But I think that sometimes when you start picking up injuries and it becomes a recurring problem, that player is no longer what he once was prior to being injured. And that's a big concern.
Yeah.
And then for $44 million and struggling to stay fit last year, and who knows what he's going to be like this year. But I think that transitioning from the EPL to the Serie A can help him. Especially the way he plays and being under Conte might benefit him, just as it did with on Inter that came over from Manchester United, Ashley Young.
Yes,
and he has done really good. He's a quick player. His type of speed can still keep up in Serie A, where maybe it's kind of a drop off in the EPL, and maybe this is a type of Conte player. Conte kind of thing, relationship where it does work out and it is suitable. But the problem is, let's just say that Antonio Conte is not there after next season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's a big issue for $44 million. Like, you don't want this guy in your lineup after next year. Antonio Conte is gone, and then you have all these players who are all Antonio Conte type players, and what do you do with them? They become dead weight then. So there's. It's a tough decision, and a second player who I would choose if it wasn't Brozovic, I didn't have to choose a midfielder, it would be Skriniar. I would sell Skriniar if you're going to continue to play a back three, because he doesn't suit a back three. He's suited more for a back four, and if Conte is not going to use a back four like Spalletti did, then I don't know. Unless Skriniar figures out how to transition into the back three, maybe this season he improves, then maybe you don't keep him, because he is a good player and has a lot to offer. And I think he has more to offer than Brozovic does if used properly.
By the way, I agree 1,000% with your choice on who I would sell to fund this move. Again, with the choices being Skriniar, Brozovic, or Eriksson, I would sell Brozovic. If it had to be one of those three, if you can't make up the money just by selling, you know, the Perisic's and the Vecinos and the Joao Marios, maybe Gagliardini, although you'd have to find a lunatic to actually want to buy that guy. Maybe Lotito will reconsider it. I don't know. But if I have to choose between one of these three, yeah, I would choose Marcelo Brozovic. And I say that despite the fact that for the past 2.5 seasons, he's probably been Inter's most important player. But like you said, I do see, I don't know if it's necessarily a decline, but I see him maybe not filling quite as well with Conte's tactics. Oh, or what were you saying, Jerry, in the chat? You're surprised that Brozovic is only 27?
Yeah, he's, bro, he's, that looks like he's 35, man.
Well, it seems like it, because it seems like he's been around forever. Yeah, Brozovic is only 27 years old, and then that's part of the reason why he could get you a pretty good sum of cash in return, right? But, you know, so he, I wouldn't say he's declining, although, you know, even though he's only 27, he's got the mileage on his legs of like a 33-year-old with the way that he's been running so much the last couple of years. But I think in the second part of the season, when Conte was experimenting more with his tactics, like when he had Eriksen lining up as more of a trequartista behind the two strikers, that formation, which I think Inter should look to be the future of the squad, did not suit Brozovic. So Brozovic and Eriksen do not mesh well together on the pitch. And in the case of Brozovic, I think he's already long reached his ceiling with Inter. I can understand why he may be considering a new challenge in a new environment. You know, he's been a very essential player for the last couple of years, but he might feel his cycle at the club has ended. And if you can find, and if Conte has decided that Conte would fit better in that formation with that personnel than Brozovic is, by all means, you have my blessing. I think that's the guy you can sacrifice to bring in N'Golo Kanté, because the reason why I would not sacrifice Skriniar is, and it comes back to a lot, Jerry, of what you were saying about the fact that Conte's not going to be around for very long, maybe one more year, possibly two more seasons, including this coming year, if he does want to fulfill his entire contract. But I can't see Conte being around for more than 2 years, whereas a guy in his early 20s like Milan Skriniar could potentially be a future captain of Inter, could be around for the next decade. So I don't think I would sacrifice him in the short term just to appease Conte in the short term. So I'd love to keep Skriniar, even though he doesn't fit so well with Conte's formation. And with Eriksen, he has not even come close to reaching his ceiling with Inter. I mean, he only had a few months to learn a new league, a new country, new teammates. We saw a few flashes of brilliance, but overall hasn't really so far fit that well into Conte's plans. But I think Eriksen has not even come close to showing us what he can do in the Nerazzurri shirt. And I just, I think it's too soon to sacrifice him. I really think you need to give Eriksen another full season before you can really see what he can do in a Conte formation, even if it means Conte having to tweak the formation for him. So I would hate to ship Christian Eriksen out after only about 6 months with the club. I would hate to ship out Skriniar, because I think he's got a very bright future once Conte is gone, and I'd love to keep him in the Nerazzurri shirt. And so it's not that I'd love to see this guy go, but just by default, I think Brozovic, out of those three, would have to be the guy you say goodbye to bring in N'Golo Kanté.
No, absolutely. And one thing I want to just reiterate, okay, he's not on the decline. I honestly thought this guy was older than 27. I did not know Brozovic was 27. The guy looks like, I guess with all the alcohol that this guy drinks, I don't know. For some reason, the amount he's played the last 2 years, I honestly felt like this guy was already big 35. But I take that back. He's not on a decline. But based on the way he was playing, it seemed like he was. Like, he just didn't care for the game anymore. His on-field, his off-field distractions, everything he was doing, DUI, and I don't know. To me, it just, like, this is a player who has so much talent, so much to offer, and I hope he doesn't throw it away. But at the end of the day, these are tough decisions. I don't know. You don't know what goes on in their personal lives, and the transfer market's still open for a while. I know I'm rambling here, but what, another 3 more weeks? I think we're going to be this is
yeah, October 5th it closes, so we got about 4 weeks still.
This is what I see. There's going to be a lot of business happening 4 weeks, and I'm going to call it right now. I still think that Kumbula is going to Lazio. I don't know how they're going to pull it off
as well. I'm really thinking that, and I think part of it is that Jerry, it looks like Inter is completely out. Like, they're not working on Kumbula anymore, and it's the same issues we talked about with Tonali, that they're just not looking to make a big splash like that financially. They just can't afford it right now. And yeah, they want to bring in a guy like N'Golo Kanté, but they need to sell somebody first. I don't think they want to sell somebody first to bring in a guy like, and I love Kumbula, don't get me wrong, but he's not a proven player yet. And I think if they're going to spend a big sum of money, Inter is only looking to sell to spend money on a proven player. So Kumbulla no longer fits the bill. So with Inter out of the way, it gives Lazio a lot more negotiating power. And I've noticed that the president of Verona is now talking about, oh, there are a lot of foreign clubs interested in him. Jerry, whenever I see that quote from an Italian president or sporting director saying that, oh, there are foreign clubs interested, to me, that's code for we don't have enough offers. I'm making shit up, like to try to get leverage, right? Because Cellino from Brescia was doing the same thing. I mean, that guy, when the negotiation was going on for Tonali, Cellino, the president of Brescia, kept talking about, oh, no, Manchester United is interested in this kid. Barcelona offered us 65 million euros for him, but we said no. It's like, dude, you're just making stuff up to try and drive up the price. And it's not to say that other clubs might not be interested in Kumbulla, but until I hear something concrete, it sounds to me like Lazio are virtually running unopposed for his services right now.
Absolutely, and I think they're in the driver's seat. No longer is it a bid for Kumbulla between Inter and Lazio. It's just Lazio's in the driver's seat, and they're gonna wait until Verona say, okay, we're gonna meet your price of 20 million, say. And I believe that Lotito has publicly said that he is back in the driver's seat to go after Kumbulla, and I think that he still wants him. But it would just, I think it's going to take some time, but at the end, I feel pretty confident it might get done. A lot of people doubted me. I tweeted a few weeks ago that Fares and Mariki were coming to Lazio. And I feel like I'm going to have to pull this tweet up because I still have it on my timeline. And a lot of people, and I don't want to say names because I think that's unfair. I had certain people call me out saying, don't get ahead of yourself because David Silva didn't come. And that's fine. David Silva didn't come. But you also have to remember that was a free transfer. So you're not, no longer is it Lotito dealing with Man City to get Silva. It's Lotito dealing with Silva to get it done. Now, whereas Fares and Vedat, it's different. You're dealing with the team. And when you're dealing with the team, sometimes it's harder, but maybe sometimes easier because you have to just deal with them to come to your club. And
right,
you have the willingness of Vedat who wants to come to Lazio, who's publicly stated. And a lot of people are against Fares because I think his initial choice was Inter. And I don't blame him. I think he has every right to want to maybe play for Inter. Maybe they have more of a desire, more ambition. I don't know what it may be. But now he's chosen Lazio, and I'm okay with that still because as a player, you want to make sure that you have a plan A and a plan B. Maybe Lazio with plan B if it didn't work out as a deal. And now that's a speculation. We don't know. But at the end of the day, I think this is a player who still wants to play with Lazio, and it's nice to see. And I they're not done. I feel like maybe 2-3 more players will arrive to Lazio, and we're going to be very surprised as to what happens by the end of the transfer market.
Yeah, and honestly, what's been the positive things going on with Lazio over the past week or so it's really changed my mind about the outlook for the coming season. I don't really have too great of expectations for Champions League for you guys. It's not to say you can't do something like what Atalanta did just this past year was remarkable. But as far as the Serie A campaign goes, before Lotito started really opening his pockets, I was thinking Lazio might be falling out of the top four. That because you see how ambitious clubs like Napoli and Milan have been, who were out of top four this past year. And so when it looked like Lazio wasn't going to bring anybody in, I'm starting to think, oh, they're going to lose their footing in the top four. But now with these moves that Lazio are making, they could be solidifying their spot in the top four. And maybe the same can be said for Atalanta. Atalanta got some very good news. I was looking at the pictures earlier today. We're taping this on Monday. I'm very happy to see this, that Josip Iličić is back in training for Atalanta. This guy, I don't know if we'll ever truly know what he's going through, because there have been a lot of rumors over the past couple of months, but he was missing back home in Slovenia, not with the squad, you know, towards the end of the Champions League campaign and Serie A campaign. It had something to do with depression. You know, there were rumors out there that it may have had to do with infidelity from his spouse. I don't know what's true and what's not. There was a lot of that out there. He was back home in Slovenia for 6 weeks dealing with personal issues, but he's back in Bergamo now. He's training with the squad. He was having just an unbelievable campaign before he left the team so suddenly. There have also been rumors surrounding Papu Gomez, but I think there's going to be a happy ending here for Atalanta, that a club from Saudi Arabia, Al Nassr, had offered $15 million to Atalanta for Papu Gomez. Reportedly, Atalanta were maybe open to selling him, but the last I saw, Jerry, according to Fabrizio Romano, that, you know, Papu doesn't want to go. They're not going to sell him, so he's going to stay at Atalanta. Atalanta did sell Castagne, but they're keeping Robin Gosens, who had a tremendous campaign at left wing back. So, I mean, it's looking to me like Atalanta is very likely going to compete and be in the top four again this coming season.
No, absolutely, and we'll see how their season goes. I don't know what to expect with Atalanta every year. They're always doubted, and but sometimes and somehow they rise to the occasion. Iličić coming back, like you said, that's a very important weapon that was missing down the latter part of the season, and we've seen how important he was when he is in the lineup, and when he was not in it, they just were missing that touch, that scoring ability up front. He really gives them another dimension of how they play. So, and he's a big threat up front. So I think this season, personally, it's going to be a coin toss. Obviously everyone's going to pick Juventus to win the Scudetto. I'm always against them. I know it bites me in the ass, but I honestly think that Napoli does not get enough credit, and that's a team that I have as a sleeper pick to win the Scudetto. I know that Inter should win it, but I wouldn't doubt Napoli fighting till the end. They come off a very disappointing season, one of their first disappointing seasons in quite a while, personally, and then you have Lazio, who like we were just talking about, who are spending money now, trying to make their team stronger. The first season, I've seen Lotito break open his wallet and take out and clean out the cobwebs. Then you have Milan, who is getting younger but better. They're growing. They will make a push as well, I find. I'm not convinced with Roma, not because I'm a Lazio fan. I just think there's a lot of question marks surrounding that club.
Yeah, you know what? You bring them up. They really seem like the one club in the top six or seven that don't seem to be doing shit when it comes to positive business. Like, I don't know. It's just been a weird period for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't know what to expect from Roma. And have they signed anybody yet? I don't even know who they've signed, what they've done, to be honest. I don't want to rip on them, but I think that they're going to struggle, I find, this season, personally. And you got Fiorentina, who I believe they're trying to acquire some new players. They have, and they might make a push. Who knows? Maybe Europa League, I would say, for them, but it's a wide open league this year, and there's just so many ifs, ands, buts. We don't know what's going to happen. I think that it's going to be more competitive, and Serie A will be really enjoyable to watch this year.
So something that it's been pretty polarizing on Juventus Twitter, but I think they're very relieved to see the terms of the deal that have been kind of updated. Luis Suarez looks to be headed to Juve. Now, I think something that had Juve fans very concerned, Jerry, was over the last couple of days, the reported contract figure for him was a 3-year deal worth net of 10 million euros per season, which looks like jaw-droppingly bad business for a player of his age at, I think, 33 years old for a 3-year deal totaling 30 million euros net. Now, I think we've come to find out today that it's actually really 6.5 million euros per season with like potential bonuses that could get it up to 10 million. So I know Juve fans are feeling a lot better about that. Personally, the way that I look at it, I think that it's a big contract, but what would you expect from Luis Suarez? He's used to making gigantic sums of money. If I look at it, Jerry, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm looking at this the wrong way, if I were a U of A supporter, I would be looking at this as he's the guy replacing Gonzalo Higuain. And personally, at this stage, I would rather have Luis Suarez as my striker than Gonzalo Higuain. So that to me is an upgrade. Like, I don't know, maybe people were only concerned because they thought he was coming for $10 million per season. But, you know, Suarez, obviously the twilight of his career, yes, but the guy is still a lethal, lethal finisher. And I would look at Suarez over Higuain as an improvement.
No, absolutely. And I think the best part of this deal is it's only 2 years. And the third year is just an option.
Right.
And I believe it's the club option if they want to extend this contract to another year. But it's only 2 years. You're not forced to keep this player for long term. I think the short term gap, actually 2 years, isn't that the same length of what is left on Ronaldo's contract, 2 seasons?
Yep, 2 more years for Ronaldo,
so,
yeah.
So that kind of puts everything into perspective that it's win now for Champions League with Suarez in the lineup. Suarez up front in the lineup. And I agree with you. I think he provides much more than Higuain. Higuain looks slow, not really motivated at times, very inconsistent now in his career. And I think that going to MLS will probably benefit him more, whereas Suarez still has much to offer. He's very clinical. I think he still has a little bit more speed than Higuain has. And the best thing about this whole deal is that they got a center forward that can score. So yeah, that's the biggest area that should be checked off. And he's not there for Serie A experience. He's there for Champions League. And he brings that Champions League experience, that caliber that will help them maybe win games that they weren't able to win last year. And always depending on Ronaldo and Dybala, now you got a third option that when Suarez isn't in the lineup for Champions League, he provides that third option that can help them score goals as well. Because I believe that scoring was a big issue for Juventus in the Champions League. You can't just be relying on Ronaldo. And guys, Ronaldo has delivered. I know that I'll be the first to admit that, yes, Juventus hasn't won a Champions League with Ronaldo, absolutely. But at the same time, he has done his part. He has scored. When he doesn't score, he has put in good effort. He's allowed his teammates the opportunity to score goals, and they're not basically doing their end part. So the blame can't go on Ronaldo, and this is a good signing if it gets done by Juventus.
Yeah, and you know, I go back and forth sometimes on whether or not the first 2 years of Cristiano in Turin have been a success or a failure. I still lean towards success. It's not a resounding success, even though from a football standpoint, you can say that they brought Ronaldo in to win Champions League when in fact they are regressing in Champions League. And you know, they're just winning the same Scudetti that they won 7 straight before Ronaldo even arrived. But I still, if I see big picture, Jerry, it's still, to me, it's more about just the success in Champions League on the pitch. If you're truly going to judge Ronaldo, right? If you were going to declare this an ultimate success, it would have to say, oh, if this is 100% successful signing, it would have to include a Champions League victory, which he hasn't gotten in 2 years. But as far as the global marketing power he's brought to Juventus, where, I mean, you and I, Jerry, are in North America. I think it's hard for people who are in Europe to compare their experience as a football fan to you and I in North America, because I know personally, you know, I live in Miami, Florida. You live in the Toronto area in Canada. In Miami, Florida, people could not have possibly cared less about Juventus before Cristiano Ronaldo arrived, right? I mean, we have a lot of football fans down here, but we have a lot of Premier League fans, a lot of Barcelona and Real Madrid supporters, which has a lot to do with Ronaldo formerly being at Real Madrid and Messi at Barcelona. I rarely did I ever see someone wearing a Juve shirt before Ronaldo arrived there. And now you see them from a global marketing standpoint exploding. And I know that Juve fans probably don't want to hear that. Like, oh, what do I care about Juve shirts being sold in Miami or in Toronto? But I think that's part of increasing that brand power. So, and he still has two more years under contract. And I hope, believe me, I hope the Champions League trophy never comes. But if it does, then you change the way you judge that. I just think that it's narrow-minded to judge the Ronaldo transfer solely based on what happens on the pitch, because you bet your ass that when they signed that man, they were thinking not only about winning Champions League, but they were also thinking of increasing their revenues, selling more shirts, becoming more of a global brand, increasing those ticket prices because Ronaldo was there. And from a business standpoint, he checked off a lot of boxes.
No, well said, man. That's actually, you said it perfect, right down to the T.
So let's talk a little bit before we wrap it up here about the club that Luis Suarez is leaving. Now, I know that we have an Italian football show, so we don't spend a whole lot of time talking La Liga, but what weird times for Barca. You know, we also, of course, have Arturo Vidal reportedly leaving Barca. You know, he's terminating his contract. He's going to sign with Inter on a free. Suarez leaving to sign with Juventus. But I'll tell you who's not leaving after this saga. I mean, Jerry, the last time you and I recorded, it was still very up in the air on Lionel Messi's future in Barca. And I've got to give you credit, Jerry Mancini. I've got to give you credit because from the beginning, as soon as Leo faxed in his transfer request, you were one of the few people out there who said, I think when it's all said and done, he ends up staying there. And that's now the resolution on this. Now, he's got one more year under contract, so I don't know what Leo's going to do this coming summer, right? It's summer of 2021. He may leave then. But Lionel Messi did announce he's not going to leave Barca this summer, because essentially what's happening here is maybe the word hostage is too strong, but they're kind of holding him hostage because Barca does not want to let him go for anything less than, I guess, the 700 million euro release clause, which obviously no one is going to pay. No one can afford to pay that, not even Manchester City. And Messi has decided, even though he wants to leave, even though he's not happy about the Koeman appointment and he's not happy about Barca having no project, and he hates Bartomeu's guts, the president there of Barca, even though he's not happy about anything Barcelona is doing right now, he still loves that club so much. He doesn't want to go to court. He doesn't want to have a legal battle to force his way out. So essentially, Messi has said, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to hang around only because I don't want to sue you. So is this sustainable, Jerry? Do you think over the next 10 months, or even really over the next 4 months, because he could potentially sign a pre-contract with another club to join on a free transfer in January, because once the January transfer window opens, he could actually decide his next club and sign a contract there. So is there anything Barca can do over the next 4 months to convince Lionel Messi to sign one more contract there?
Yeah, tell their president to get the fuck out. That's what.
Yep, that's what it might take, honestly.
That's basically what it is. And isn't there like charges being made against him by the Catalan police?
Corruption charges, I think.
Yes. So this guy's not even going to finish his year there. And personally, I've said this on our last episode when we talked about Messi. A, he's not leaving Barcelona. And I said, B, if he was to go, I didn't even think Man City. And a lot of people felt Man City was the destination. I still think Inter is the destination. If they want to fork out the money, they can do it to bring him in. Now, at the end of the day, I was a believer about the whole Ronaldo versus Messi thing. I do believe in these kind of things that they do play in the back of their minds because they like that kind of competition, the rivalry that has been developed in La Liga. And at the end of the day, he loves Barcelona. And it's not the club that he hates. It's the president that he hates.
Yeah.
He's stated it that there's no direction. It's a disaster in the office with him and with Bartomeu. Now, do I think that Messi's going to sign a contract in January when the transfer window opens? No, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be that quick to decide his future. I think he'll leave it to the summer. He'll play out the whole year, focus on playing for Barcelona, trying to win. He'll do his part. He'll be a professional. I agree with him. Going to court would make no sense because it's just going to drag out. it's not gonna sell. I think he knows that it's not gonna settle anything, and they're just gonna be an impasse. So basically, nothing is gonna get solved. So to him, it's like, why am I gonna ruin my career for a year? I'm gonna sit out. I'm not gonna play. I won't be. He probably won't even play for Argentina next summer then for the Copa America. And he probably would, but he just wouldn't be game fit because you're not playing for a whole year. It doesn't help you. And true. There's just so many factors that would hinder him. His value would go down. Just his image, you name it. So at the end of the day, he's loyal to Barcelona. And when everything is done next summer, I still think that he's going to stay with Barcelona. You're going to have a new president that's going to be coming in, a new direction, and I think that things will change really quickly. They're trying to get him out right now, the current president, and his heart is with Barcelona, and it would need to take a lot of convincing for Messi to go elsewhere. And I know that people are going to say, well, don't you see it? Don't you see the disaster that's happening with Barcelona? Well, that's right now. By next summer, the project might change. It will change, actually, because we will have a new president. But whatever they do, I think that Messi is going to first want to listen to what they have planned going forward. And if he likes what he hears, he likes what he sees and the changes and everything, I don't see why he would not want to stay with the one club that he only knows.
Right.
Now, if it doesn't work out, guess what? The whole legal battle shit is done. He goes separate ways. And does it still become just Man City Inter next summer? I don't think so. It becomes who the hell knows where he's going to go. That's what it becomes, because now you're a free transfer and you're free to go wherever you want. And I know that Man City will be probably in the lead because of Pep Guardiola, but who knows if Pep will still be there next summer based on what happens this season. Things can change in a year. There's a lot of factors that happen throughout the year. So my guess, if I had to choose right now, he stays with Barcelona, and that's just the way I look at it right now. And Ronald Koeman might not even be there by next summer.
He might not be there by January. Who knows?
Yeah, so he may be out. They bring in a coach that he loves. He wants to stay all of a sudden. There's just so many factors that are on the table that can change everything from day and night. So if I had to be a betting man, I would put a small wager and he stays, and a small wager that he comes to Serie A. But that's just me, though.
You know, I tend to agree, especially with the way this situation just played out. After all of that hoopla and after a couple of weeks of drama, he ends up staying there. Some people think there's no chance he re-signs there long term, or at least for the next couple of years. But I think there still is a chance that he ends up staying in Barca beyond next summer. I really think there's a chance. But I will say, though, just from an Inter perspective, him staying at Barca and not leaving this summer, I think helps Inter's chances considerably. And I'm not saying I consider Inter a favorite, but I will say that this summer, with Inter's balance sheet from COVID-19, I mean, they took a hit with this pandemic, with the club budget. I think that's a big part of the reason why you don't see them shelling out huge deals this summer, is that they're trying to sort of fund their own transfer window with sales. That they could not have made this move this summer when it came to either having to pay Barca a transfer fee or even having to just foot the bill for Messi's gigantic wages. I don't think that move was economically feasible this summer. So when Messi got so upset and he sent in his transfer request, Inter was caught with their pants down, because I think Inter, Suning, had been planning potentially to acquire Lionel Messi. I think for a few years they've had this in the back of their mind that, hey, his contract's going to be done in 2021. That's when we're going to try and get our ducks in the row financially to be able to afford a move for Messi. So they may have been, I think, for years preparing to potentially make this move for the summer of 2021, but were not prepared to make it, especially after the pandemic in the summer of 2020. So the fact that Messi is going to stay at Barca for probably at least through this coming season, I think at least gives Inter a chance. I'm not saying they're the favorite, right? Because I tend to agree with Jerry. The favorite would probably be still Barcelona. And of course, Manchester City with Pep, I think, is a strong consideration. And that's the really the only team he could have gone through this summer if he left was Man City. But I think at least Messi staying at Barca for now gives Inter an opportunity to get those sponsorships ready and to formulate their plan in earnest to be able to get Messi next summer, so at least keeps them in the race. And it sounds to me like one of the things that Barca wants to do to make Messi happy in the short term is they're still lurking for a Lautaro Martinez deal. But I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen this summer. I talk about Inter being in tough financial situation this summer. Barca's in even a worse financial situation. And the funny thing about it, Jerry, you know I've been following this Lautaro saga for months, ever since he was rumored to be on Barca's hot list, is that, you know, and I don't trust media reports. I know you don't either. But, you know, I do laugh at some of these media reports, especially the Spanish media, or just they just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. So the Spanish media, every time they report an offer that Inter rejects, Barcelona comes back with an even worse offer. It's like, do they know how to negotiate? Wait, so you're telling me one week Barca offers 75 million euros plus three players. Then the next week after Inter rejects that offer, they come back with 75 million euros plus one player. Then it's 65 million euros plus two players. And now the most recent reported offer is 65 million euros plus one player. It's like, guys, like you're not going to be able to afford Inter's asking price, because Inter, they don't want to sell Lautaro first and foremost. And it sounds like Lautaro, even if he would like, and you know what, to be honest, I don't know if he'd like to go to this Barcelona with the chaos that's happening there. But, you know, 6 months ago, he was obviously interested in Barca. And even if he wants to go to Barca and get a big contract there, Lautaro is not forcing a move. Like, so he's not going to try and force Inter to deal him. I think he's happy enough where he is that that Inter would have to be satisfied with the offer to sell him. If Barca keeps coming back with a worse offer every time they make a new offer, it's not happening this summer. Maybe in a year Lautaro goes to Barca, maybe in January if they can get their funds together, but it sure as hell ain't happening right now. And I kind of thought we were over this Lautaro to Barca thing, but Jerry, over the last couple of days, I see new reports popping up, because it sounds like the Spanish media is saying this is one of the things that would make Messi happy if Inter can buy Lautaro Martinez.
Well, if that's what it takes to keep their star player happy, I don't see why they wouldn't want to do it. I guess until the transfer market is closed, it's never going to stop the ongoing saga of will Lautaro be leaving? Will he be leaving? Will that player be leaving? But at the moment, he's in Inter Milan, and that's at the end of the day, he hasn't requested to leave. He hasn't talked about going to Barcelona for a while, and I also feel that his perception of what's going on there maybe has changed everything of how he feels about going there. So
yeah, it's like this isn't exactly the time where I'd be in a rush to join Barcelona. Like I would have to take a step back and say, yeah, maybe that's not where I want to be right about now.
No, absolutely. So I guess only time will tell, right? So but yeah, it is what it is, and if he goes, he goes. If he doesn't, Inter keeps a good player, and hopefully it doesn't distract him this season going forward. And I felt like that was a big distraction in his game last season, where down the ladder, it kind of may have got into the back of his head. He was thinking about, am I going? Am I staying? I want to play with Messi. Before the whole mess happened and all the Messi rumors. So I guess only, like I said, time will tell.
Yeah, well, we're going to get ready now to watch the Azzurri, so we're going to wrap up this episode. Covered a lot of ground today. You know, I know the transfer window can be exciting, it can be frustrating, and be careful, don't believe everything you read, because there's a lot of BS out there. So everyone enjoy watching Italy. Serie A is going to be back in a couple weeks. We'll probably be back within the next few days. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Jerry is at jmancini8. I am at Alex Dono. Follow the show at CalcioConPod. And do us a couple huge favors, all right? Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, because maybe you're listening but haven't subscribed. Click subscribe. We'd love to have you. If you could leave us a 5-star rating, which takes a second, you just hit 5 stars on your device. You do us a huge solid that way. If you can take 30 extra seconds and write us a nice review, we appreciate that as well. And we will talk to everyone next time on another episode of the Calcio Connection podcast. Ciao.